There are two very important items missing in our readings today, and by paying attention to what's missing, we can learn a lot. So first, notice our entire first reading is about the Passover. This Triduum celebration, everything we're doing, this is the fulfillment of the Passover. Everything that God did in Egypt and everything that the Jews celebrated for the 1500 years following the Exodus, it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and it is fulfilled in his passion, death, and resurrection. Everything the Passover represents is brought to us really and truly here today. And so the first description of the Passover spends a lot of time talking about a lamb, when you're supposed to procure the lamb, what you're supposed to do with the lamb, how you're supposed to slaughter the lamb, how you're supposed to treat the blood of the lamb. Now, pay attention to any of the institution accounts. We have the earliest institution account from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. This is the first time that one of the apostles is describing the institution of the Eucharist, where Jesus gives us the gift of the Eucharist. Or if you read Matthew, Mark, or Luke and their institution accounts, they go through some details. Matthew, more than anybody, goes through some details about what they're doing at dinner, how Jesus is acting, what's going on at the supper, how they got to the upper room. And yet not a one of them mentions the lamb. The lamb is missing from the Passover accounts. The entire Passover in the book of Exodus is focused on this lamb. This lamb is essential and important. The gospel writers tell us that the Last Supper was a Passover supper, and yet there is no lamb. That matters. The people who are reading the gospels would have known what was missing. They would have known in all of these institution accounts that there was no lamb mentioned, and they would have known that that's a massive oversight, that this dinner makes no sense unless there's a lamb. And so this missing piece, what's not present in the institution account, what every Christian of the first century would have known, this gives us so much important information that is lost to us if we don't notice the missing detail, if we don't pay attention to the fact that the lamb is not mentioned. Because the lamb in the institution accounts, in the first letter to the Corinthians, in the Gospels, the lamb is Jesus Christ. The one who is sacrificed to save us and deliver us is Jesus. He is the lamb. The reason they have to eat his body at the Last Supper is because you had to eat the roasted flesh of the lamb. There had to be a lamb for there to be a Passover. And Jesus is that lamb. So now go back to the Exodus account and pay attention to what the lamb does, what we're supposed to do with the lamb, all of the different details of the lamb. Now, the first one, unfortunately, is very relevant to a very specific time and place, which is to say, listen to this. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one and shall share in the lamb in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. Not for nothing, that's a very good description of partners in the gospel and what we're about to encourage and encounter in our parishes. If we're too small, we join together so we can partake of the one lamb in proportion to the numbers of the household. Jesus, because he is the lamb, Jesus is big enough for all of us. You can't consume the entire lamb who is Jesus. He is infinite, he is everything. But from time to time, in order to get the most out of our Passover supper, we do need to join with other families. We need to come together. This is an excellent vision of Christianity, because with this one lamb that cannot be completely consumed, with Jesus who is big enough for all humanity, it's not just Assumption joining with Sacred Heart, joining with Ferndale and Linden and everybody else. It's Seattle joining with New York, joining with Paris, joining with Beijing. Every family, every Christian family, from the nuclear family to the diocesan family to the national family, Every family joins together around the one Lamb. We all partake of the one Lamb because Jesus is the one Lamb for all of us. And he allows us to join in unity around the one supper, which is the Mass. Notice that the lamb has to be slaughtered with the whole assembly of Israel present during the evening twilight. Why are we so insistent that Christianity is not a solo enterprise? Why are we so insistent that the Sunday Mass matters, that we can't just worship God in our homes by ourselves? Because the sacrifice is a community effort. It's something that we do together as a body. The whole assembly of Israel would gather. In the time of Jesus, this meant the whole assembly of Israel. Every Jewish male who was able to get there had to get to Jerusalem. They would come from as far as Rome and as far as Cairo. They would come from Egypt and they would come from Turkey. And they would come together in the one temple. And even though they had to slaughter many lambs for many families, it was done in the presence of the assembly of Israel. Jesus gives himself, he is the one lamb, to all of us together. Not individually, together. As a body, as a family. Again, that one family, that one worldwide family, who joins together in the one lamb. Now, why does the lamb have to be slaughtered? Because its blood is salvific. The blood is put on the doorposts, and the angel of death passes over every household with the blood of the lamb. We receive the blood of the lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ is poured out for us in the Eucharist. And what does that Eucharist do? It saves us from condemnation. It saves us from the sting of sin and death. When we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, when we receive the Passover lamb, and when we receive the blood of the lamb, the angel of death passes over us. We are given life. We are given eternal life. This is the promise of the Eucharist. This is what the Passover lamb does. And again, Jesus is that lamb. This is who we worship. This is who shows up on the altar. It is the protection against the angel of death. Whatever that looks like in your life, whatever is attacking you and tearing you down, whatever feels like death for you, Jesus protects you and saves you. It's an incredible teaching of the church that we don't talk about very much. We need confession for the forgiveness of sins. But strictly speaking in our theology, we need confession for the forgiveness of mortal sins. Our venial sins are forgiven every time we receive the Eucharist, because the blood of the Lamb saves us from the angel of death, and death is the wages of sin. The Eucharist saves us from sin, just as the blood of the Lamb saves us from the angel of death. Whatever you face, whatever plagues you, whatever threatens you, if you go to the Lamb and you receive his blood, you will be saved. Finally, how are we to eat the Lamb? How are we to receive the Eucharist? This is how you are to eat it. With your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand, you shall eat like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. What we are doing today is the fulfillment of the Passover. Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb. And what is described in Exodus continues to this day. When we eat the Eucharist, we should do it with our loins girt, sandals on our feet, staff in hand, like those who are in flight. The purpose of the Eucharist is not to remain comfortable. It's not to remain static. It's not to remain in place. Not to remain complacent. The purpose of the Eucharist is to give us strength for the journey of this life, to save us from our sins, to save us from death, and then to allow us to go forth into the world with our loins girt and sandals on our feet. The Eucharist is a sacrament of mission. It is a sacrament that sends us out to those who need the salvation that has been offered to us by the Lamb. The purpose of the Mass is to strengthen us and to give us grace. And that grace is not for ourselves. It is, but it's for the world. The blood of the Lamb is for the world. If we receive the Eucharist and it drives us only to our own strength, to our own self, if our spiritual life is only about us and God, then we're missing something important. We're missing the fact that this is food for the journey. Now, at the beginning of the homily, I told you there are two things missing in the readings today. One of them is that there's no lamb at the Passover supper. The second is that there's no institution in the Gospel of John. St. Paul tells us about the Eucharist. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about the Eucharist. They talk about Jesus taking the bread, saying, "This is my body." Taking the chalice and saying, "This is my blood." St. John doesn't do any of that. There is a Last Supper. It goes on for 5 or 6 or 20 chapters. It's a very long section of John. Jesus talks a lot during this. But there's no institution. Why? Well, again, it's because the people of the time would have already known these details. The best theory we have for the Gospel of John is that St. John himself had already read the other Gospels. They're earlier than his. They come out, they generally tell the same stories in the same order, although there's some unique pieces of Matthew and Luke. John reads these. John, who was with Jesus for 3 years, who was the one who Jesus loved, John reads those and says, "These are good, but there are missing pieces. There are parts of this that weren't told, that need to be told." And so he writes a supplemental gospel. There is no institution because the people of the time would have known the institution. They would have known the Eucharist. It was already circulating in the other Gospels. And so when we read the Gospel of John, we have to ask, what did the apostle think was missing? What was so important that he write another Gospel? The Gospel that we have, where Jesus washes the feet of the apostles, is intentionally supplemental to the institution narrative. They go together, and the church celebrates them together on purpose. In one sense, the washing of the feet is an ordination. If you read the book of Exodus, the feet of Aaron and his sons had to be washed before they could be anointed as priests. In a sense, this is Jesus ordaining his apostles. But if it is an ordination, it is an ordination that is intentional. Jesus wanted to make very clear that those who would celebrate the Eucharist, those who would stand at the altar in his place, those who would be able to say, not "This is Jesus' body, but this is my body," that they would be ordained with an ordination of service. That standing at the altar, they don't do so as kings in a kingdom with power, but they do so as slaves to the faithful of God. That they do so as those who would wash the feet who enter the household. It's an important and necessary symbol. It's something that St. John thought was so important he had to put it in a gospel. Ordination and the celebration of the Eucharist is necessarily servile. It is necessarily in service to the people of God. And that's the ministerial priesthood. But we shouldn't forget, all of you were washed by water, and in doing so were made priests. In your baptism, you were made priests, prophets, and kings. And so if Jesus is making a statement of the priesthood today, he's making it for me as a ministerial priest, and he is making it for you as a baptized priest. Your baptism was also a baptism of service. What we do for those around us, what we do for the world, is why we need the Eucharist. It is the sacrament of charity, of service, of love. The more we receive the Eucharist, the more we are formed to be like Jesus Christ, the more we can love those around us. And in that service, in both the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy, in that service, we bring people closer and closer to the assembly of Israel. And we bring people closer and closer to the salvific household that contains the blood of the Lamb. by showing them the service of Jesus Christ lived out in us, by showing them the attitude of the one who went to the cross for us, we show them that salvation is possible. And we do that by being like Jesus, by being like the one who went to the cross, by being like the one who washed the feet, by being like the one who said, "I will be the sacrificial lamb for my people." Everything Jesus did was for our salvation. His sacrifice, the ordination of his apostles, his giving us the Eucharist. We are so blessed to be saved in such a way. We are so blessed to have Jesus as our sacrificial lamb. El Señor es el Cordero de Salvación. El Señor es el Cordero del Libro de Éxodo. El Cordero de la Pascua. No hay un Cordero en los Evangelios, porque Jesús es el Cordero. Jesús es nuestra salvación. Jesús es el lugar de nuestro sacrificio. Entonces, cada domingo y cada día, si es posible, juntamos para celebrar y recibir el sacrificio del Señor en este altar. Este altar es una imagen del altar del templo en Jerusalén. Este altar es un altar de sacrificio, que es una imagen del sacrificio del Cordero, que es Jesús. Este es un sacrificio del Señor para ustedes, de Dios. ¿Cómo es posible sacrificar a Dios? Es imposible lógicamente, pero en Jesús, con una naturaleza humana, es posible que Dios se sacrificara en la cruz y Dios se sacrificara en este altar. En este momento, recibimos y participemos en el sacrificio del Cordero, en el sacrificio del Señor, y recibimos el cuerpo y la sangre del Cordero. La sangre que salva los israelitas en Egipto. Si la sangre de un animal puede salvar los israelitas, ¿qué más que la sangre del Señor puede salvarnos en este altar? Si un cordero simple puede llevar salvación, Dios llevar salvación eterna y perfecta. ¿Por qué? ¿Por qué no asistimos a este altar? ¿Por qué no juntamos con esta comunidad? Este es el lugar de salvación, el altar de salvación y la sangre de salvación.